I'm Jossie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Hunter.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, February 15th, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good.
So last week you were in person.
Yeah.
And then we taped this show, and then we did a second interview with our colleague from Tupper, Doris Chow, and I was quite pleased with how it turned out, and found what she had to talk about quite interesting, and I'm pleased to say that the response online has been quite good. People were listening to that interview, so it was fun to
do.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good interview, nice catching up with Doris again and seeing what she's been up to, and I'm totally interested in her cause and all the work she's doing.
Yeah, it's important work, isn't it?
It's extremely important work, and like I said, it affects all of us. So I'm really eager. To see what I can do to help her be effective in what she's doing. Further effective.
Yeah.
Because she already is quite effective.
Yeah. She said something off tape when we were wrapping up and just sitting here and chatting in my office at home. That if whatever happens in Chinatown doesn't, how did she word it? Whatever is happening in Chinatown is important for the rest of us because that's a heritage site. And
right.
If they don't protect that, that means that everything else in the city, your neighborhood, my neighborhood, west, out east.
It sets the precedent.
Yeah,
it does.
And that's finished, whatever.
Right, yeah, no, exactly what she was saying. You know, if we can't even save Chinatown, then we're kind of up shit creek for the rest of the city. Chinatown's a historic part, and it's a big part of Vancouver's history.
Yeah.
And if we can't even save that, then yeah, we are kind of at a loss. We've lost our history and our heritage, and if we can't save that, then I don't know what else in the city there is worth preserving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thursday I went down to Chinatown, and I went to Newtown Bakery. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there?
Not that I recall.
No, you should go down there. I bought a couple of those steam buns.
Newtown Bakery.
The best steam buns in the city.
I gotta try that. I still haven't even ever tried steam buns.
Really?
Like, in life, I've never.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
I should.
Yeah, your kids will like that, too.
I figured they would. I know my brothers love them. When we were younger, they used to buy them from this little store on the way to school. They'd buy them for lunch. They, like, love them.
Yeah, I bought them, and then I took them to work for lunch. And very filling. You have two of those, and you're set for the day. Yeah, and they're good, too. I mean, it's fresh, and, you know, they're all huge Canucks fans there, apparently.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and they're on Canucks game days. I guess they all wear jerseys, and I forget the name of the player that they're big fans of. But there's a video on the Canucks site where
he goes into the store?
Yeah.
I think that was just recent, right?
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a great restaurant, a great bakery. They take cash only, but other than that, it's a gem.
I like that.
It's a gem of a place, and I've been there for lunch. I went there with Larry Wong once, and just terrific. So,
and
highly,
cash only.
That's right, and highly recommended.
I'll have to check that out.
So the weekend brought news that the Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court died. That's not something you want to talk about, is it?
Yeah, no, probably. Well, you probably won't talk about it too much, right?
Yeah.
Other than, you know.
So the argument now is who Obama is going to pick, and the Republicans say Trump said on Saturday, delay, 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 doesn't want anybody picked, and none of the Senate Republicans want to pick anybody. Do you have a pick as to who should replace Scalia on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I think it definitely should be Judge Judy. That would make the most sense to me. And I'm sure the rest of the world, why not? She's experienced. She has so much supporters.
I'm laughing because I kind of expected that from you. I don't know.
Of course. Who else? Can I think of anyone else? No.
Yeah, it'd be great for Obama. It's a woman, right?
Exactly.
And he's appointed two women already, so this would be a third.
And she's pretty hardcore. Like,
Yeah, she's not going to let anybody get away with bullshit or anything like
that. No, exactly. Like, nobody's going to be trying to pull a fast one on her. It's not happening.
I'm trying to imagine now if because news over the weekend as well, the two inmates had escaped from Colony Farm.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Imagine if they got caught and then they had to face Judge Judy again.
In front of Judge Judy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How that would go over.
That alone would probably keep them in jail or wherever they are because they probably wouldn't want to have to see her again. I wouldn't.
But these people that have escaped, aren't they mentally ill, though?
Yeah, so they're in Colony Farms, which is, you know, it's not prison, but it's a forensic psychiatric facility. So they're mentally unstable, clearly, but they have committed crimes. These two in particular, so I was trying to figure out what they've been jailed for, right? Because if these people are on the loose, I'd like to know, how much of a potential threat are they?
Well, one was a woman, right?
One is a woman,
yeah.
Violet. I think she's 41. And she left on Friday. I'm wondering, because it was a male and a female, so I'm wondering, is this like a rendezvous? Maybe they just wanted to get away for Valentine's Day or something together. Or maybe they
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just, yeah.
It's for real, though. Or maybe they had their own partners on the outside that they wanted to go and hook up with. But in any case.
Well, there was that prison. Remember that prison? They were at large in New York State. And
yeah.
They were having sex with a guard who let them out, and then she was having sex with both of them. And
that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was out of control. But these two are missing. We don't know if they're together or apart or what the deal is, but they both went missing on Friday. Funny story with the guy, though, this David Fomrodis, he's 38. A few years ago, he was actually arrested for carjacking the actress, remember Carly Pope?
Yeah, I've heard the name. I don't.
I think it was 2011 she was here, and he carjacked her and her brother in downtown Vancouver and crashed him into the CBC building.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If you recall.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So he's in Colony Farms for that and some other crimes he's committed. He's also, this is not his first time escaping Colony Farm.
So is he then a really good escaper, or is Colony Farm really lax in terms of their security?
I think that's something that will have to be looked at now, seeing that this is not his first escape. And it's not the first time anyone's escaped from Colony Farm. So I think there's lots to be looked at there. But, I mean, two people gone at once, what happened there?
Yeah.
Who is not watching?
Yeah, our prisons it's about 30 years ago. I interviewed a lady a couple months ago, and they were issuing day passes, and they screwed up, and then the guy that took the day pass ended up murdering a bunch of other kids. So
right,
but
yeah,
that's 35, 40 years ago. But yeah. Anyway,
and this is it still happens today, though. I mean, luckily we haven't heard of anything. Knock on wood, anything happening in the last few days in relation to these two being missing, but, you know.
Yeah, the woman, Violet, and I'm not going to say her last name because I can't pronounce it, she's 41, and she's had a decade-long record of impaired driving and theft, so.
Yeah, it looks like she's got quite a lengthy record. She was actually just, you know, this is just the research I've done online. She's due to be in court February 23rd.
Yeah, and one report I saw on the news was that she was at Colony Farm because she was being assessed as to whether or not she could stand trial.
Right.
So I guess that's part of what Colony Farm is. It's an assessment facility
Yeah, I mean, and I think, and once you're actually charged, that's where
they keep you?
They house you, yeah.
By the way, is Kanye West, is he crazy?
He should probably be in Colony Farms. He might, or Riverview, I guess. Maybe he hasn't.
We don't have Riverview anymore.
No, but it's coming back. So he should be number one on their list.
See, I don't listen to that kind of music, but I mean, I know of him because he's a celebrity. He's someone in the culture.
He's lost his mind.
But is he talented, though? I mean, the music, is that something that you would listen to?
You know, there's a few Kanye songs that I listen to, and a lot that he's also written for others that I really like. And there's times when I catch myself and I'm like, oh, God, it's Kanye. Like, oh, I don't want to like it, but I do.
So why do you hate him?
Because he's an idiot. He's self-righteous. And he's just, he's just fucked up. Like, he's weird.
Yeah.
Not even weird. Not even weird in a good way. He's like, you know, like that kid in school who was just eccentric and always seemed like they just needed attention. Like, he just seemed so needy for attention. And why?
And he was always like that, though, right?
He's always been like that. I mean, and I think the whole, you know, being with Kim kind of puts it over the edge.
Kim Kardashian?
Yes. I think that's kind of like the tipping point, but he is talented, but I think he just needs to, like, he needs to gather himself a little better. He needs to act accordingly.
I don't like to presume as to why people are together, but in terms of, okay, he was a big deal before he met her, and I'm assuming he was the bigger star than she was, and she and her whole family, is that right?
I would think so. I'm sure some would say otherwise.
So then, was it love then?
I would think so. Who the hell knows? Are you kidding me?
Because I don't think I don't think he'd date her or marry her just to increase his celebrity. Because as I said, he's already the big deal, right?
I think he probably is. Like, he seems really passionate about her. He seems like he's in love, but he also seems very eccentric and a little, like, you know. Maybe, I think he's more infatuated with the thought of her.
Hmm.
I don't know if who knows? I'm not in their life, right? So,
he just seems to me that he's dumb.
He doesn't seem like a genius to me. I know, like...
I know he says he is, but I mean,
Musically, his music is good. His teacher, his mother was a university professor. Like, she had a PhD. His mother is very smart, and he started university, hence the name of one of his first album, College Dropout, because apparently he was really smart, and it was a shock to everyone when he dropped out of college because he was so promising, but he really believed in himself and his rap career, which it's good. But he's so high on himself. He's so self-righteous, so, I don't know, but he's so out to lunch.
But don't you think you have to be that way to be in show business, and especially that kind of, that branch of show business?
To a degree, but it gets tiring. It gets exhausting for the public. It does, I know for me. I'm sure, like, some people like drama. Some people love it. Like, you know, he just says the other day he's $53 million in debt. Like, really, Kanye? Really?
You mean you don't believe that he's $53 million, or he's not broke and he's just making it up, or that he spent $53 million and is...
And you know what? No, he very well could be, but it's like, why do I care? What difference does that make in my life?
Well, he wants you to buy his album.
Yeah, no, I'm not, no. You know, you're married to Kim Kardashian now. Get some of that money.
Well, they're not that well. Well, I mean, they are wealthy, but I mean, they're not.
No, well, I was actually reading a demographic that said it. I mean, that said it could very well be true. They, you know, all of what his net worth are all estimates, right?
Yeah.
All that we know of net worth of celebrities are all estimates. So his estimated net worth has been about $100 million, which would be half of what he says he's in debt. And then they say marrying Kim, she brings in about $50 million. They say is her net worth.
So I'm trying to do the math here in my head. So Ryan Seacrest, isn't he the guy who started all of this for them?
Yeah.
So is he then worth twice what she is?
Oh, he would have to be way more, worth way more.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I did see something on TV that said that he is, yeah, one of the richest, most lucrative people in reality TV. Which would make sense.
Him and Andy Cohen?
Yeah, him and Andy Cohen, yeah. I think they were like the top two. But yeah, I mean, Kanye very well could be telling the truth, but I mean, stop living as lavishly as you do then.
The other thing about Kanye West that I guess I first came to know him, because as I said, I don't listen to that music, was when after Katrina and at that telethon,
and
he made those comments about President Bush. And so what struck me then is the idea of race and racism. And is that something you think? Does he hate white people?
Kanye?
Yeah.
I don't think he hates white people. I think, you know, like...
But he likes calling out white privilege, I guess. Is that fair to say?
Does he? I don't know.
Or just calling other people racist. I guess that's easier than, you know, thinking
about
race.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. As it is, you know, it's always easier to call somebody else out on something, take the attention off of you. But, yeah, I don't know about this whole, like, white privilege thing. Sure, it exists. And like I said, I don't really speak to it because I've experienced it in the sense that, yeah, I've seen other people benefit from white privilege. I haven't because I'm not white. So I can't speak to that on that level.
But I mean, when people use the term white privilege, they tend to have this idea that a white person would explain to a visible minority how things are supposed to be. Like, you know, it's like mansplaining, but I guess white-splaining, if that's a...
Well, yeah, term. I guess kind of in that sense. And like, you know, I guess what this leads to is this whole debate that recently was had on my Facebook wall about a statement that was made by a teacher...
So you were in a course that you were, and then...
A course that I was taking, and I mean, long story short, a race issue came up in the class, and the question was asked that if a racist could be a good leader in the workplace. And, you know, most people in the class obviously said no, and then the teacher proceeded to say that, you know, racism is something that we all have to deal with every day. We don't get a choice. Which is absolutely true. And then her next lines was basically, white privilege says that as a white person, you do not get to choose to not be a racist.
Hmm.
I guess, and most of them took it as, okay, so that means all white people are racist, because white privilege says so, and that we all perpetuate racism some way or another every day, which... You know, sure, I agree with some of her statements, but I honestly had nothing to say about her white privilege, and because she's another white person saying this to other white people, and they were just pissed, right? So I just posted this statement on my wall, and it was merely just a statement.
Just recounting what had happened in this.
Just recounting what had happened, and I just thought it was interesting, you know.
Yeah, so I saw you post that, and then I was going about my day, and a few hours later, I saw that you'd posted something else.
That I had taken it down because people now wanted to get into this debate of white privilege. And, oh, I bet they were all so mad because somebody tried to explain to them what white privilege was. And it was basically just somebody on my page being extremely presumptuous and I think being a bit condescending. And in my opinion, if you want to talk to another white person about white privilege, then do that. Talk to them. But don't talk at them. Because I don't think any progress has ever come at you yelling or screaming your preachy ways and views to somebody else. Doesn't work like that.
And on your wall.
And on my wall, it wasn't going to happen. And not to mention, like, these are both my friends, but I just felt like my friend, who happens to be white, was kind of unfairly being attacked because her views, I don't know. I don't think she even has a view. I think she just didn't understand this whole white privilege concept.
And then who was, and who was attacking her?
Somebody who was not white.
Mm. Yeah.
And and it's fine. Yeah. She didn't understand it. That's fine. She needed it to be explained to her. The way in which it was being explained, I was not cool with.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I needed to go in and explain to her, the other person, oh, maybe you should tell her like this. We're all adults here. And that's not how you get a point across. It's not going to happen. I'm done. So I shut it down. And I have that right. And so the feedback I got from that was, you know, I guess this person thought I shut it down in fear of having to explain myself and not sounding stupid or some shit. And to that, I honestly could give a shit less what they think. I shut it down because, well, just for the reasons I said, I don't feel like you need to scream your views at somebody. I'm all for educating and doing that on a fair, even level.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, my Facebook page, when I open it and I see, like, you've written a 10-page thesis on white privilege, like, get the hell out of here with that shit. You're not a teacher. You're not, and I'm not going to let you come in here with your self-righteous attitude and try and force your ways and views onto other people. I was just making a point, and that's it.
Yeah,
you can love it, you can hate it, you can whatever, but I don't need you to come on here and write 1,000-word feedback on my 2-line
That's a problem with Facebook, I think, is that we think we can say anything we want and that it's right because it's our opinion. Well, it's not. I mean, you have to have some facts. I mean, otherwise, people that say that you get autism from vaccines or think, you know, they're correct.
Well, all kinds of stupid shit.
Yeah, but the other thing is that when people start debating one another, they think we're going to convince them at the end of the day. Well, that never happens, does
it? Exactly, and that's, you know, the conversation I had with another friend. And that's why... I've explained to other people, I've always had this kind of attitude, and I don't know, maybe you do too, because I was an only child for a while, but in my mind, when I feel like I'm right, I don't really care to, like, I don't really care to explain myself to anybody else. I'll give my opinion. If you believe it, great. If not, oh well. Anything else is irrelevant to me. But I'm not going to try and force my opinion down your throat. That's not me. In my mind, I'm right. So whatever.
Sure, but I do think that there is a one has to explain if the person they're talking to doesn't have all the facts. And this happened, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm bringing it up anyway. After the Doris interview, with Doris Chow. I was in a conversation with someone via text as to what was said in the interview, not about Doris personally, but just about the issue of gentrification in the downtown and in Chinatown and the downtown east side and just affordability in Vancouver. And
right.
And I don't know if this person was just being argumentative for the sake of being argumentative,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed like they didn't have a grasp on
all the facts
and reality that I needed to correct them, if you will.
Right.
And I mean, unfortunately, I was busy and so I couldn't finish the conversation.
Exactly.
So unfortunately, they think they won, but they didn't because they're foolish.
And exactly. And that's kind of what happened in my situation.
Yeah.
It's like, I was away for this training, so I was out of town as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see this on my post. On my wall and this long drawn out bullshit that this person wrote, and I just saw it and I said, I didn't even want to read it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I read the first few lines and I said, okay, she doesn't even have all the facts here, and she's honestly, I had to remove it because she was starting to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And I was trying to save her, because she didn't have all the facts, and she was already making a lot of presumptions and assumptions, and has taken it and made this long thesis on my wall, right?
So does that change, then, what you post on your wall from now
absolutely
on?
Absolutely not. No, no. This person, and, like, the person you were speaking to, they love drama, right? And sometimes they want you to feed into it. She didn't have the facts. I simply removed it. Even after I removed it, she came back and wrote on my wall, sorry, not sorry. So, right? So I said to my friend, you know, I could go back and I could tell her, I could say a lot of things, a lot of mean things.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, because I would then be feeding the monster. She loves the drama, right?
And let's just be clear here, because I know the person that I was talking to is probably listening to us. They might think that you're referring to them, but you don't know who I was talking to, right?
I'm not even talking to them about them. And I don't even know, and I could care less if the person I'm talking to is listening.
Yeah.
This is so they know they have not won.
Yeah.
I am not finished. And I'm not going to reply to that, because that's just immature.
But the people that you add on Facebook, or that are on your Facebook wall, I should say, they're people you know generally, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I add anybody that adds me, and sometimes, you know, you get people that are obviously fishing for credit card numbers or something like that.
Some people just fish for drama. They just love a response. They want to start a debate. And I don't think Facebook is particularly the platform to start any kind of educated, sensible debate. That's just me. I've seen it. I've seen the effects of it. It doesn't work. There's nowhere to note tone and inference and any of that. So I'm sorry.
And I would add text SMS or whatever to
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, from my experience.
You can't do it via text, messenger. It needs to be like either, you know, in voice or in person.
Yeah, you know, I find that fascinating, and this is whole social media experience on my part, I see people on Twitter, otherwise respectable, educated, articulate people, just devolve.
Acting like fools.
Conversations into just a mess.
And it
becomes drama publicly. You know, it becomes news story sometimes. Like the Justin Trudeau's chief of staff, for example, last week, or not his chief of staff, his advisor, Gerald Butts. I mean, he started arguing with someone on Twitter about a policy of theirs, and
it's like, would you do that like in real life? Like, is that really professional?
Well, no, I think it matters because they're in public life, but I mean, I don't think both of their arguments are well served by the restriction of 140 characters.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But, you know, it's all, you know, water under the bridge.
Did you think that, finally, this conversation on white privilege that took place on your Facebook wall, because it's Black History Month, do you think that people are a little more sensitive, perhaps, or they're paying attention more on that score on race? Or?
No. You know what I find that's always funny? Like, you know, after the teacher brought that up, it was the whole class went into an uproar, and she came to myself and the only other person of color in the class, who was a Japanese woman, and we happened to be working together. And she came and asked us, you know, how we felt after that conversation. And
isn't that revealing, though?
No, I just said, wow, really? What are you talking? I said, I don't think, we don't have a problem.
Yeah.
We're fine. It's your white people you need to talk to. They're the ones that seem pretty pissed off right now. She's like, oh, no, I see that. So it's hilarious. I honestly thought it was funny. I said, I always think it's funny when white people mainly are more offended by, you know, racist comments, and I say that with quotations,
mm-hmm.
racist comments against black people or people of color.
Yeah, and truth be told, they're not racist comments, they're just racial comments.
Racial comments,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so that was the other part of the debate, too. It's like racial comments or racist comments, opposed to derogatory or discriminatory.
180 degrees.
Right?
Yeah.
So it all becomes very...
We become too sensitive and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's I saw that based on just as soon as she says white privilege is like, God forbid you're taking away a right of them not to have the right to say that they're not racist. Oh my God. This like, appalling sounds from the room. And to me, I'm like, who cares? If you're not a racist, you're not a racist. You're going to let some woman teaching a course tell you because you're white you're a racist? Get over it. If it's not true, then it's not true.
Yeah,
it's that easy to me. But I always find it so funny when white people are more offended by racist comments than I am.
Well, I hope you weren't you weren't offended by today's conversation.
Was not all offended. It was it's hilarious, and not because it's Black History Month. It's whatever. I loved watching that reaction and seeing everyone in the class just get really pissed off.
Yeah, what it says, and this goes back to the Imus case from a few years ago, we just need to know how to talk to each other better.
And, exactly.
And that is in our discourse, that's in Canada, that's in the United States, culturally between, you know, races, white, black, native and non-native in this country. And I just think we ought to do better.
We should.
But we don't.
No, I think there's a lot to be learned still.
Yeah. Well, we'll try again next week then, won't we?
I guess so. I guess we'll have we'll see what else non-racial profiling type comments we can come up with next week. Well, that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, February 15th, 2016.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.